go out and serve. As far as service goes, we give options because not everybody can do everything. Homeless outreach is uncomfortable for some people. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've had bad experiences. And for some, being around elderly is challenging. But when we give two or three different options, they can choose to serve however they feel called to. Because we all are called to encounter Christ. But the beauty is we all thrive in specific settings. And Project 20 Calcutta offers that locally. That's what we do here. Obviously, like Dave, you said, it's an inspiration from Mother Teresa, who said, find your own Calcutta. We're in Dallas. Dallas is our Calcutta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got to tell the story about meeting Mother Teresa, because I think that is so special. I know people who also had the privilege of meeting her. She traveled a lot during her lifetime, but you met her as a child, didn't you?
Yes, I've had the beautiful opportunity of meeting her when she came to visit the town where I grew up, which is south of Calcutta, a different state, Andhra. And we are probably about 400 miles away from Calcutta, but I grew up pretty close to a slum. And as you know, sisters always build their homes in slums or close to slums. So in my parish, when they first built the house, Mother Teresa came to visit. And that's when I've had the chance, because my uncle is a priest, he took me to meet her. This was mid-80s. I believe like 85 is when she came to my parish. I did not know my uncle had already planned to take me and my brothers to meet Mother Teresa. When I saw her the night before at the church, she didn't look at me because there are 10,000 people. And I was kind of bummed. Oh, this celebrity I went to see, she didn't even know I was there. Well, lo and behold, next day, I had private audience thanks to my uncle. So it was a wonderful experience.
Wow. And she was equally famous in India as she was around the rest of the world. I mean, sometimes in your own, and I know that she was an Indian by birth, but, that's where she did her work. But that's a great story. Well, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Let me bring Tom Rudy into the conversation again, the new mission development director for Project Finding Calcutta. And Tom, tell us how you found your way to now working and serving with Project Finding Calcutta.
Great question. And Dave, the story began a couple of years ago when I met Anand at an event, and he shared with me what he did. I've had this deep love for Mother Teresa all my life, but never dug into that work. He gave me the offer to come that Saturday to work with him, and I did. And my first trip was to the homeless on the street, downtown Dallas, and I brought, the goodie bags and all that, not knowing really what to expect, what to do. Turns out I didn't do it well. I gave out all the goodie bags, and I was out, and I thought, I got to go get more. So I went to 7-Eleven. I bought crackers, realizing later that's not what they needed. I learned that these are people with great spiritual wounds. They have people walking by them that don't even see them. Then it hit me that stop, listen, talk to them, understand their story, give them a sense of dignity for that moment, and that can just change hearts. So that's where it ended. And Mother Teresa once said, "Let your donation sweat in your hands until you know where to give it." And I knew right there, this is where I was going to give it. It took me a while to get here. There's things that I wanted to finish up where I was. We got them finished. We brought Bloom in, which I absolutely was a necessary thing to do. And it was successful. But I felt God saying, I have a new chapter I want to write with you. And this is the chapter, and we're beginning it now.
Yeah, amen. You know, what you just said is so beautiful and so true. And I took a sentence or two off the website, and Anand, I'd like you to comment on this. And it says, isolation, the newest plague, is devouring not only those who we serve, but also those in our homes, schools, offices, and neighborhoods. And I think that really ties into what Tom just said, where, yeah, they want food, their bodies need food and drink and all that, but that might not be their biggest need. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Absolutely, Tom. I forgot the story. I do remember now, because you did share with me right after your first Saturday with us. And it's the truth is, we all have read or heard from someone, Matthew chapter 25, where it says, like, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was homeless, you did not shelter me. When Jesus spoke those words, we actually take it because we love him. As Christians, we want to follow his teachings. And our pastors even preach to us, like, go make a sandwich, give it to the homeless. Mm. And we have done it. A lot of us have done it. Maybe it is, you know, during Lent. That's okay. Some of us have done it more than just during Lent by having things in the car to hand out to the poor, as we see. All of that is good and important. But it's been 2,000 years since that chapter was written. Poverty now looks very different. And like Tom said, some people are not really hungry for just food. What they really want is dignity. They name to be said. They want eye contact with us, not avoidance. So isolation is growing severely everywhere in our culture. And when we take the homeless, like, they have actually, some of them have plenty of food. One of the statistics they have done, our calling here in town, it's a homeless outreach program. And they said homeless receive 7 sandwiches for a meal on Saturday. Well, nobody can eat 7 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So we don't
You've never seen me eat sandwiches, have you? I'm kidding.
well, I guess some people have superpowers. therefore, like, we realize we need to, like, cut down on handing out stuff, but increase giving time. So we are a ministry of presence. We just sit down with them on the curbs and spend time with them. And one of the stories, I don't know if I shared that before, Alex, one of our volunteers, who may end up becoming a missionary with us someday, he shared with me as a volunteer when he went out and was spending time with a homeless person. He said, I like that you guys come sit with us and spend a lot of time talking to us, because there are other church groups and people from different organizations, companies, volunteer hours that they have to do. They all go hand stuff out. And this homeless person told Alex that, I felt like a zoo animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, yeah. You're throwing some food at them, right?
Yeah,
without actually caring for who they are. Very nice. We're talking about Project Finding Calcutta. You can find them online, projectfindingcalcutta.com. As will come up in the conversation, they do projects every single weekend. I remember Anand telling me, no exceptions. They go out every single Saturday. And Tom Rudy is the new Mission Development Director. And Tom, you kind of hinted a moment ago about your transition from pro-life work at the Catholic Pro-Life Community, but talk a little bit more about that. How is this kind of a natural next step for you?
Yeah, the next step was actually serving, actually using your hands. At CPLC, it was a privilege to represent the organization at a higher level out there, but to actually get to the nursing home and get to the street was, again, as I said, I wasn't comfortable with, but I felt God saying, I want you comfortable here. I want you to have success here because it's necessary. So I was getting these signs all along the way, the last 6 months, went to see Father Mark Garrett. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get the young adults ignited to serve, to be part of the culture of life. And he said, you want to do that, Tom? He said, let them find out their own why. Don't tell them. let them figure it out. And you do that by giving them a service project. Once they serve, you will find out the peace that it brings them, and they'll want to serve more and more and more. I found that to be absolutely true. I took my grandson into one of the nursing homes, and we walked to the door of a person, and, you know, instead of just waving, saying hi, we sat down and talked to this young lady, and she asked for a Sprite, and she had no money. My five-year-old grandson said, I got money. Mm. And he had change in his pocket. And he went and he bought her a Sprite and gave it to her. Her eyes lit up, but a week later he came to me and says, that was really cool, Nina Pop. He said, giving to someone really made me feel good. Through this child, I realized, oh my gosh, Mark Garrett was right. Father Mark said, the thing that really started to impassion me right there. We have to evangelize in the way of letting people know that when you serve, when you look at them in the eyes and take time, it will change your life. It brings you peace, joy. It's like a secret that I want everybody to know.
Yeah, I love how you refer to the lady in the nursing home as a young lady. that says a lot.
As I get older, everyone's young.
All right, Anand, let me come back to you. Recent developments overall with Project Finding Calcutta, what's going on? I know summer is always a busy time for you guys. Well, what's the latest?
Oh, wow. well, I hope we get a couple of minutes there because this goes back to Focus Conference a year ago. It was in St. Louis, January 2025. In prayer, I just heard these words, this is the year. Mm. And I did not know what it meant at that time during prayer. And I talked to my spiritual director. I talked to some friends. And I waited and saw a few opportunities come by. And they all seemed like, oh, maybe God is, you know, opening a new door or showing a new path forward for Project Finding Calcutta. And those things didn't quite build as much. And almost a year was coming to a close. I thought, well, maybe those were my words and not really God's words. And early December, a young man who is a recent convert, reached out to me and said, I know about your organization. He's from Massachusetts. His name is Matthew. And he said, this is what I want to do. I'm quitting college. This is what I know I have to do. Will you please consider taking me full time? I said, I don't know if I'm ready, but I really want you and want a team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's see where it goes. And not just that he came in the first week of December. Within a month, we ended up having five more join him.
Oh, really?
So,
wow, you didn't know if you could handle one. You got six, right?
Yeah. So right now we have all these new full-time missionaries working with us. And now the work that I was doing with more missionaries, it just gave us so much freedom to reach more parishes, be more intimate with our volunteers, develop deeper friendships. We are spending a good amount of time at University of Dallas, a lot more programs. We launched School of Service, which is a formation effort to help volunteers understand what we are really doing. Yes, it is important to go roll up our sleeves and serve. And like Pope Francis said, to smell like the sheep, which is fantastic. Sometimes we have to know why we are doing that. And therefore, every Saturday before we go out to serve, we offer some formation. But once a month now with School of Service, we are offering more formation to go deeper. As well as the beauty of all these young people joining us is now we went from serving once a week in a big way to every day.
Mm. Oh,
so
really? Wow.
Our missionaries get a break on Monday, but from Tuesday till Sunday, including Sunday, even though it's Lord's Day, because Jesus himself performed miracles. He helped the lame walk. So why can't we give an hour of our time to the poorest of the poor?
And so somebody listening right now, just the average Joe, or, you know, somebody who says, this inspires me, I may not, you know, be able to do 6 days a week or be one of your missionaries, but I'd like to do maybe one day a week. What would you suggest for them? What should they do?
Yeah, anybody that is new, we always invite them to join us on a Saturday, because that's when we explain who we are and how we do this. Once after they get the taste of it, and if they feel called to do more, like our newest friend, James, I met him 2-3 weeks ago. He came on a Saturday and then said, hey, I'm 60-something. I got some free time. I want to do something more consistently. So I invited him. We met with the rest of the team. He got to know our missionaries. Now he's gone out with the team. Tom, you want to share?
Yeah, it's inspiring because there's no age limit. You can be 5 years old. You can be in your 70s saying, I've got a lot more to give. What Anand has done is built a great organization in the 6.5 years. The framework is there. What Anand needed was to build onto this framework. We have more building to do, and so we're both architecting this together, and he's fun to work with. Once we have this framework, this new architectural framework built, we're going to be able to go out to more parishes and more schools, more universities. As Anand said, this young team is, they're beautiful. They're on fire. They're going through formation. Formation on how to serve, but formation on faith. Building really strong men and women. So someday, they won't be with us forever. They will go on to whatever vocation they choose, and they're going to bring that to the community, to their family, to their job. That's a beautiful thing. But in the meantime, we're building this team together. We're training them together. And eventually, we'll have a strong unit here that when we want to take this somewhere, another city, these young, they're ready to go.
And you've already expanded into other cities, right? Hasn't there even been some international interest? I know one time you told me that Calcutta was interested, and you were like, wait, we're supposed to be outside of Calcutta. We're not in Calcutta. But how expansive are you now, and where would you like to be in 10 years?
Oh, wow, that's a question. God knows, I don't know yet where we will be in 10 years, but we've had a phenomenal opportunity, actually several opportunities, to try the model in different cities. So I call them all pilot projects. So we reached out to, or somebody from different dioceses reached out to us, actually more than a dozen cities now we have on the list, and we collaborated with a handful of them: Lincoln, Nebraska, Kansas City, Denver, and Boston. These are the four cities we have tried the pilot, just to partner with somebody local there and share the model. I went to most of them myself, and we started something for a summer or just during Lent or for a few months with someone as a pilot, as a short-term thing. They all went well, but because at this point when I tried this in other places, I was solo, and some of the friends and priests invited us to move and build in other cities. But I know my call right now as a husband and a father is Dallas. Dallas is home. This is where I'm staying put. But now that we know these pilots have done well and God provided these missionaries, we are training them to send them to these other places, including someday to Calcutta itself. Those discussions are still going on. I had a privilege to take some UD students to India last month for spring break. And during that time, I had some meetings with the sisters there. And we are planning something. Of course, it's a mountain to climb. So God has to perform a few more miracles that I need to see. Then we can get to that point. But this is going to be a big undertaking. But there is a need for thousands of people that go to India to serve in Calcutta every year, to beyond offering service opportunities by Missionaries of Charity Sisters, we, Project Finding Calcutta, will be able to offer some practical coaching to start their own chapters in other countries. That's the idea, but in God's time.
All right. Thank you so much. Anand Bhimarasetty, the founder of Project Finding Calcutta. You can find them online, projectfindingcalcutta.com. And Tom Rudy, the new director of mission development. Tom, we have about a minute and a half left, and I want to just give you a little bit of time to speak to our audience. And what's on your heart? What would you like them to do? How can they help you? Do you need volunteers? What's the message?
All of the above, Dave.
Okay.
Prayers. We'll start with prayers. What I see before us is doable. I see before us is something that is necessary. Let's make it happen. So it's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take volunteers. It's going to take support. We know some of the things that we want to do. If we start another city, if we start a community center, or if we bring in more missionaries, which we will, we have a plan for that. You know, all that takes, definitely takes resources. So we will be talking to friends in the community for that aspect, but we also will be reaching out just in many ways for support for this organization.
Thank you so much. Perfectly timed. And I just have enough time to once again thank Anand Bhimarasetty and Tom Rudy with Project Finding Calcutta for coming in and doing this interview. And again, if you're inspired to pray for them, support them, volunteer with them, all the above, get involved. You can find all the information at their website, projectfindingcalcutta.com. And certainly, like I said, as Tom mentioned, it all starts with prayer. So thank you, gentlemen, very much for being here. Great to see you. Thank you for listening. If you have suggestions for future interviews of the week, please email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Do you have a child who struggles with sensory processing during Mass? St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church in Plano warmly invites families with children of special needs to attend a low sensory Mass. The sensory-friendly Mass will take place on Sunday, May 24th at noon, in the youth ministry room in the parish office building. The Mass will be held in a quiet setting with soft lighting to create a calming space for children with special needs. For more information, visit St. Mark's website at stmarkplano.org.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, 9:10 a.m. to the east, 11:40 to the west, and we're glad that you are listening to us. And I am delighted to have in studio with me not only the U.S. director of a wonderful pilgrimage company called Harvest Journeys. They're located at harvestjourneys.com. But Lisa Colgan, who is the U.S. director, not only is that, but she is a former across-the-street neighbor of mine when I was a little tiny kid, and she was even younger than me. It's so cool to reunite with her, and both of us kind of doing our thing here in North Texas to build up the body of Christ. And what a cool job she has working for HarvestJourneys.com. And by the way, they are becoming new sponsors on this station as well. So we're so thankful to Lisa and excited to learn more about Harvest Journeys. And if you're considering pilgrimage, this might be a good fit for you. So Lisa, welcome and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's so great to be here. And we're excited about our upcoming partnership with you all. And I'm excited to reconnect with you as well.
Yeah, I remember when we were just little tots and running around Fallbrook Drive in Dallas and all that. And of course, you know, many, many decades later. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your faith background, anything biographical that might help people to get to know you a little bit better.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. I'm a fifth generation Italian Catholic. I was fortunate enough to go through 13 years of private school. It was K through 6 at St. Thomas Aquinas, and then 7th and 8th at St. Patrick's, and then Ursuline Academy. Mm. So that was really a blessing in my life to attend those years of private school. I got some great faith formation. And then kind of when I went off to college at Texas Tech, I graduated and lost touch with my faith a little bit. But I think, you know, that's kind of typical. I came back and I was sitting in church and I heard a announcement for the Paris retreat. And so I went on that retreat. I didn't really understand it. I didn't know why I was going, but that kind of showed me what I was missing out as far as my faith goes and what I was missing out on. And so I rededicated myself to faith And then shortly after that, I went on pilgrimage to Israel, which is kind of the major pilgrimage for our faith. And while I was on that trip, I had a profound kind of encounter with Jesus surrounding forgiveness and the cross. And after that, I just realized, you know, I'm rededicating my life. It kind of set my path straight and came back. And now I just, you know, volunteer and kind of give back and do what I can for the faith.
Yeah. How interesting that a big turning point of your life was on pilgrimage. And here you are now promoting pilgrimages.
Absolutely.
With Harvest Journeys. And what year was that that you went to Israel?
So I went to Israel about in 2010.
Okay, 2010. That was a big moment in your life. Am I right that aren't you related to Bishop Duca?
What
is that relationship?
Yes, Bishop Duca is my second cousin. So he and my mom are cousins, our grandfathers are brothers. And so growing up, you know, we had a priest in the family, which that was very
and
special.
And I remember because Father Duca back then, Father Michael Duca, was at St. Patrick's. And I just remember he would be like hanging out at y'all's house. And I was
Absolutely.
Like, wait a second. And then all of a sudden he becomes bishop. Is it Lafayette? Or he's a bishop out in Louisiana
he's
now.
He's the bishop of Baton Rouge
currently. Baton Rouge. And I know Bishop Desitel from locally. He's over in Louisiana as well. So how cool to have a bishop who's a blood relative of yours. Now, okay, so that's your personal kind of faith background. And thank you for sharing that. And by the way, Lisa's a parishioner now at St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas.
St. Thomas, of course, because
you went to school there for the first part of your grade school years. How about professionally? You graduate from Tech, you know, and what have you done professionally leading up to the position you're in now?
So after graduation, I started my career in fundraising. I worked for a U.S. Senator, the Dallas Symphony, and Ursuline Academy on fundraising campaigns. And then I moved over to marketing, and I spent about 25 years in sponsorship, event, and media advertising sales. And I spent a little time at a nonprofit before connecting with the Harvest Journeys team, where I got my position as the U.S. director, where I'm serving now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was really a God thing for me to get connected with Harvest Journeys. I was at my former position, and I was at lunch, and we were talking to one of my colleagues, and we said, you know, if we could do anything, what would we do? And I said, I would be in Catholic travel.
Mm.
And I got back to my desk, and there was an email from my good friend, Christina. She had heard about this opportunity and knew about my passion for travel, knew about my passion for the faith, and recommended me. So, you know, shortly after that, I met with the owner. He came in from Australia to kind of start the U.S. office because we've been in Sydney, operating in Sydney for 40 years. And they just decided to open the U.S. office in March of 2024. So I met with him, and he hired me to be the U.S. director.
All right. So the Harvest Journeys is a Australian-based, Sydney, Australia-based company, been around for about 40 years.
Correct.
And then they decide to open up operations in America, which is a great decision because people in America love to travel. There's a lot of money here.
Right.
And then they decide to put it in Dallas, or is it because they want Lisa Colgan and she just happens to be in Dallas?
They made their decision based on actually the Catholic Creatives Conference. Some of the team members from Australia came over and attended that conference. And when they were there, they heard a presentation from Undivided Life. And that's when they decided that we were going to partner. They also heard a speech from Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And so at that point, our owner decided we're going to office in Irving, Texas at Lucid, and we're going to use we're going to invite Deacon Harold to come on our pilgrimages with us to kind of get the name out and lead some of our pilgrimage for us. So the plan was already in place. And then when they were ready to open the office, they kind of executed on that plan to office in Lucid for the Catholic connections.
Yeah.
We call it Vatican Valley. And then, you know, work with Deacon Harold.
And just for people who don't know, because we've done some live broadcasts out there before, Jeff Shuffelbein, Undivided Life, which you mentioned a moment ago. And this is, you know, Lucid goes beyond Irving. You know, Flip Howard owns Lucid. Mm-hmm. And you've got these two floors in this office building in Irving that pretty much are all these Catholic apostolates. Young Catholic professionals are there,
right,
and the Catholic gentlemen, and Finding Project Calcutta. And it's just an amazing place. And what a great place for you guys to land. and to be there in the midst of all this cool Catholic stuff going on. So, all right. Well, so we've talked about Harvest Journeys. Is there anything else about the history of it, or are you in any other countries besides Australia and America, or is it international, or how much so?
So our headquarters, we're in Sydney, and that's where we've been operating for 40 years. We really only have the two offices, but, you know, we work with operators around the world. So we are global in that sense that we can send people anywhere around the world, any holy destination. We have over 129 destinations that we send people to. So we've got contacts all around the world.
Oh, wow. So you are the American operations.
I have one coworker. So it's a team of two right now. We're growing, really trying to get our name out. You know, the pilgrimage space is so popular now and very competitive. And while we have, you know, we are the go-to connection for Sydney. You know, we work with the diocese, the Catholic schools, all of the, you know, we're very well known there. We're just getting our name out in the U.S.
Yeah, and it's, you got to be, you know, and you are a very outgoing person. You got to meet a lot of people. Yeah, right. So what is the job like now for you as far as you look at the whole country, and here you are, Lisa Colgan, basically trying to get American operations up and running. I mean, it's what is the strategy? How do you do it?
So it is a big job. I mean, it operates as a startup. So while we do have all the backing we need from our team in Australia, it's really, you know, I have a two-person team, myself and my coworker Kelly, and we're here to, you know, contact priests, get connected with parishes, get connected with schools, ministries, anyone who wants to do a group of 15 or more. So we try to get the word out that we can, you know, we're full service. So we handle all of the itineraries. We collect the payments. We handle all the on-the-ground logistics. We provide guides. And then we use our expertise to make sure that, you know, we're providing that genuine pilgrimage experience. So we're selling, you know, we're marketing ourselves. We're making connections with organizations so that we can have those groups, maybe high-profile groups on pilgrimage to help us get the word out. And then using our networks. And then, of course, there's the operations side, which, as you heard, I'm a marketer. I'm a marketing background. We're learning about, you know, all the different laws that we have to abide by to sell travel in the U.S. You know, each state has a different law. So we're doing that. So it's really just starting the business from the ground up in the U.S.
Yeah. And I see you around a lot. Of course, a couple weeks ago, I was at a CIRA club meeting speaking, and there you were. And so Lisa Colgan, U.S. Director, HarvestJourneys.com is the website, HarvestJourneys.com, Australian-based, but now starting up operations in America. So you mentioned 129 destinations. Mm-hmm. Does that mean 125 different pilgrimages? What are the pilgrimages that you're offering now? What's hot? Tell us about that.
So we operate two different ways. One, we do custom pilgrimages, but then we also, if you go onto our website, you can see kind of the standard offerings that we have. And these are set pilgrimages that anybody in the world can sign up for. And they go to the main destinations like, you know, the Holy Land when it's safe, Lourdes, Fatima, Rome, those types of places. We've just recently added South Korea, Japan, and Egypt, which, you know, you might not think about those for pilgrimage, but there's so many different martyr sites and monasteries and Marian sites that are so worth seeing in some of these kind of off the beaten path pilgrimage destinations. So we do that. We also, as I mentioned, we're leading, we have Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers and the Franciscans of the Eternal Word. They're leading some pilgrimages for us, and those will go to Ireland, Mexico, Japan, and Italy this year. And then we also, you know, as I said, we partner with different groups. So we have a great pilgrimage coming up with Faith Fitness Ministries. Mm-hmm. I work with Father Ignacio on that, and we're going to Mexico City. That one's
for... You say we. Are you going on that one?
I might. That is always TBD. I'm ready to go anytime, but it just depends on how it works out. But that's for young adults, 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
So it's a very specialized pilgrimage for them. And then we also have a great one going to Peru with Vera Aqua Vera Vida. That's a nonprofit that provides clean water into Peru. And they're a mission organization. So the first part of it will be a mission trip. And then the last part will be a pilgrimage where you can walk in the footsteps of Pope Leo all throughout Peru and go to Machu Picchu. And so that's a really awesome one that's coming up in August.
Yeah.
And then I'm hoping I get to go to Japan this year because, as I said, we're getting so many requests for that. And that's one of the places that I haven't been.
Now, do y'all do exclusively Catholic pilgrimages? Or
exclusively.
If somebody just says, hey, I want to do a pilgrimage. I mean, it wouldn't really be a pilgrimage if it wasn't, you know, faith-based, right? So you don't just do a sightseeing trip to London or something like that. Okay, so it's exclusively Catholic. That is awesome.
Yes.
And you mentioned the Holy Land, and when it's safe, my understanding is that it did open up this year. Is this like green light or maybe yellow light or what is the status of the Holy Land?
So unfortunately, right now, we would not send groups in. We have to follow all the U.S. advisories, the travel advisories, and that's how we operate. Some of the airspace is closed right now, especially out of Australia. So we don't, there's liability. Like, we wouldn't really send people in right now. Although we know, you know, tourism and traveling groups never really stopped in Israel. We went in November and it was phenomenal. This past November, it was very peaceful there and there were really no signs of war at all. The Christians there are so happy to see us because, you know, they really need our support.
Oh, yeah.
Going into those communities. And that's one good thing about pilgrimage, right? Like, you're learning about the universal church and seeing how different Christian communities worship, live. You know, you're eating their food, learning about their culture, but also supporting the Christian communities that are struggling.
Yeah.
And maybe in poverty or being persecuted. And that's another reason why pilgrimage is kind of a mission. You know, we want to go in and help those Christian communities where we can and support them and learn about them.
Right. Because tourism is a big part of their economy.
It
and
is.
They rely on it. I can only imagine how the Christian communities in the Holy Land have suffered so much for the last couple of years. So you mentioned some of the more lesser known pilgrimage sites. You mentioned, I think, Korea and Japan, which doesn't come to mind right off the bat for me. Like, I'm going to take a pilgrimage to Japan, although there's some great, you know, obviously Catholic roots in Japan as well. Any others that come to mind, like really obscure ones that people wouldn't naturally think of?
So I wouldn't say it's obscure, but one of my favorite ones that I've been on that a lot of people haven't been on yet is Medjugorje.
Oh, yeah. I was there last summer.
Oh, so you know. I mean, the thing about it is it's probably the most peaceful place I've ever been.
Yeah.
It's non-commercial. And the thing that I think is amazing about that is the visions are happening still.
Yeah.
So in our lifetime, I mean, you can go and see this event happening and unfolding and the miracles and graces that come with that. I think because it's still happening, it hasn't been authenticated yet as far as the visions go, but it has been, you know, the Pope says that it is he's approved the pilgrimage destination and recognizes the fruits that come from it. So, you know, if you can get to Medjugorje, I would.
What is it, Nihil Obstat? Or no, wait, what is it? Like, nothing stands in the way is what they've declared officially. Like, it's not at the level of like a Lourdes Fatima, but they're saying, hey, there's nothing that we can see that would prevent us from allowing pilgrimages there. And I went there as well, and I agree.
Yeah,
it was
an extremely
peaceful place. So you numerous trips to Medjugorje every year, would you say? Or how many opportunities?
As a company, we offer 2 per year.
Okay.
So, but then again, like, if you are a custom group, you can pick your dates and destinations, and we'll structure the trip for whenever you want to go, wherever you want to go.
Speaking of custom trips, let's talk about one that you and I have talked about. I have a great devotion to St. Thomas Aquinas, and I just love his life. And he traveled, and he taught in Paris, and of course, born in Italy, and went to various places throughout his life. If somebody has, you know, they're just, you know, John Q. Public, but they have a great devotion to Thérèse or, you know, what have you. So they could call you and say, hey, I want to put a pilgrimage together.
Yes.
Tell us about that and what's involved in what do they need to do and what do they need to come to you with?
So anyone who wants to do that, we would welcome that. They would call me and we would work through the itinerary. You know, I would listen for what is important to them, their must-sees, and then we would use our experience to structure the itinerary so that it works with logistics and things like that. And then we would make sure we get a guide who understands, you know, the importance of the pilgrimage, understands the history, culture, can speak to the destinations. And then we would try to find an expert like yourself, because anytime we can include an expert, that adds another whole dimension to the pilgrimage. It's really, really appreciated and fascinating for the people when they can learn about, you know, the faith or a particular saint or what actually happened there.
Yeah.
Our guides are great. I mean, they are phenomenal. But then somebody who can take that a little bit further, who's immersed in it, you know, that always makes the pilgrimage extra special. So we would, you know, welcome that for anyone who wants to structure any kind of pilgrimage like that or see certain destinations or, you know, even if it's not on our website, we create all kinds of custom pilgrimages.
Yeah. HarvestJourneys.com is the website. HarvestJourneys.com. Lisa Colgan, the U.S. director, working right here in North Texas as well. Are all of your pilgrimages land pilgrimages, or do you do any like river cruises or boats or anything like that?
So we're starting to enter the Catholic cruise arena.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very exciting. Up until this point, it's been land only. But, you know, as I said, you know, that's where we see it moving.
Yeah.
And so we are probably going to be up and running with that for 2027.
Okay. Okay. Exciting. Now, in the time that you've been with Harvest Journeys and you've been able to probably talk to some people that go on pilgrimages, what is the spiritual benefit? What do people get out of it? You said you went to Israel in 2010. I know you yeah. kind of alluded to the fact that you've been to Medjugorje. Why would somebody do this? I mean, I know it can be expensive, but if people can afford it, why yeah. would somebody put out that kind of money to do that? What are the benefits?
Well, we know pilgrimage is an ancient spiritual practice. It has so many different graces, benefits. It changed my life. And this is something that I hope everybody gets the opportunity to do. It's really an opportunity to disconnect from your daily life. And when you do that, you allow space for reflection, for healing, for deeper prayer. And then I think, you know, when you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and the saints, seeing those sites that we've been reading about for our entire life, that brings your faith, it grows your faith deeper in a way that nothing else can. And so there's a benefit in that too. Also, we've seen great healing and great miracles from pilgrimage. I've witnessed, mm-hmm. you know, people coming back to the church. You know, they might be on pilgrimage just because, you know, a family member's going, or they think it might sound fun, and they come away, you know, really rededicated to the faith because they've had these encounters with the Lord that just haven't been possible, you know, here in their daily life. And so I think that's a benefit. We also have people who bring their intentions, right? Like they're yeah. either praying for a family member who's falling away from the faith, or they're seeking guidance or direction, and then seeking healing.
Yeah.
And we had an incredible story, a witness of faith, because we had in Lourdes, when we took our group to Lourdes, we had a woman who was in a wheelchair, and she had been in a wheelchair for many years. She couldn't walk. And she went to the baths, and she said she heard a voice say, "Get up and walk." And she did. And now
really?
She walks.
This is on one of your pilgrimages.
This is on one of our pilgrimages to
Lourdes. Right?
So we actually have this witness. She is now so passionate about, you know, the faith, and she travels around and tells her story and talks about pilgrimage. And we've seen this happen many times. And, you know, the second miracle is that she actually met her husband on that pilgrimage.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
She married our
guide. She got her money's worth, didn't she?
she got healing and her husband.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
that is awesome.
Just an incredible story.
Yeah.
Doesn't even seem real. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
But we, you know, that's a story that we've witnessed. And there's all kinds of things like that. But I think also, too, it's important, you know, miracles of faith where you,
yeah.
like what happened to me. I mean, I came back kind of on fire for the faith, and it just set my path in a different direction. And, you know, I think that's definitely a benefit. But also, too, you know, I kind of mentioned the universal church and how when you go visit these different communities, you see how they worship, you see how, you know, they eat, their art. And that just lets us know that we're a part of something way bigger and more powerful than just our local communities. And so I think that's always good for tolerance and peace, which, you know, we definitely need these days. And then also too, you know, when you see these amazing sights and you have these encounters with Jesus, and you're just spending 12 days praying, you know, going to daily mass, praying, you have a priest with you so you can have the sacraments whenever you want and get that spiritual guidance. When you do that with your fellow pilgrimage, you're bonded for life.
Mm-hmm.
So you come back with all these Catholic connections that lasts a lifetime.
Yeah.
So that's one of the major benefits.
I'm glad you said that, because I've been on, you know, maybe three pilgrimages in my life, not too many of them. But when I meet somebody that I was on pilgrimage with, it's a different relationship.
Right.
It is, you know, and the conversation always goes there immediately. remember when we were on the Danube, mm-hmm. remember when we went to Medjugorje, and it just changes the relationship.
Absolutely.
And you have a friend for life because you've been able to experience beautiful things with them. And I get excited. I'm actually kind of jealous about your job. I mean, what a great job that you have.
It is
Lisa Colgan, U.S. Director, Harvest Journeys. I'm guessing traditionally the Holy Land has been the most popular for Christians. And like you said, that's kind of closed off right now.
Right.
You mentioned Lourdes. What are some of the other really popular ones that people are choosing right now?
So Fatima would be one, just because that's a great Marian destination. Italy, Rome, always popular. You know, yeah. I think people kind of go in order. You know, if they know they can't go for that many pilgrimages, Holy Land, Rome, get the two major ones.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then kind of maybe fill in with some of the Marian ones. That's right. usually how we see it. Unless they have some sort of affinity or reason to go to a different one, those are the most popular ones. Greece, following in the footsteps of St. Paul, Greece and Turkey. That's a really popular one, too.
Mexico has been in the news the last couple of weeks yeah. for some of the things yeah. going on down there. Is Guadalupe open right now? Are you sending people down there?
It is.
Okay.
And we can. You know, there's a lot of fear surrounding it yeah. still. And so really, it's just up to your comfort level. But our guides are there, and they're on pilgrimage right now, and everything's fine. And I was very surprised at that pilgrimage. I went to that pilgrimage in January. And seeing all the martyr sites from the Crucero War, that yeah. was very, very impactful. That happened
Miguel
in the
Pro
20s.
And yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was like 100 years
it
ago.
Just happened
I mean,
in
it's
the 20s.
It's crazy.
And
well, Lisa,
yeah.
let me, I'm going to have to start wrapping this up now, but I really appreciate it. It's just such a great guest. You've got so
Thank
much information.
You
came so well prepared. HarvestJourneys.com. Just take 30 seconds. If people are intrigued, what should they do once they get to that website?
So visit our website. If you're interested in joining a group of pilgrims on a pilgrimage, you can look at our series trips that are already there for you, already planned out. If you're interested in, you know, creating a custom pilgrimage, there's a form you can fill out that will come directly to me, and I will get in touch with you, and we'll plan your pilgrimage.
All right. Great to see you, neighbor.
Thanks, neighbor.
Yeah, thanks
for
so
having
much.
Me.
And thanks. You'll be hearing spots on the radio very soon for Harvest Journeys, but do visit that website, harvestjourneys.com, and appreciate Lisa taking the time to be with us. U.S. Director of Harvest Journeys, harvestjourneys.com is the website. Thanks also to Cecil Anderson. Thank you for listening, and support Harvest Journeys and all of our sponsors, because they help to keep Catholic Radio on the air so that we can have cool interviews and conversations like this. That'll do it. This is the interview of the week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Have a great rest of your weekend. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's KATH 910 AM interview of the week. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Catholic news and information pertinent to North Texas Catholics. Please join us again next week at this same time for another KATH 910 AM interview of the week.
Would you like to experience a true renewal of the Spirit on a Harvest Journeys pilgrimage? You can walk in the footsteps of Jesus, Mary, and the saints, pray at the sacred sites of Fatima, Lourdes, Italy, the Holy Land, and beyond, and encounter places where faith has been lived for centuries. Each pilgrimage is centered on reflection, fellowship, and a deeper encounter with God. You can visit harvestjourneys.com to book your pilgrimage. That's harvestjourneys.com, a sponsor of the GRN. Hi, this is Dave Palmer. On Saturday, July 18th, we will host our first ever KTH 910 AM Keeping the Promise Midsummer Evening of Wine, Wisdom, and Wow at the Capel Arts Center with four special guest panelists, EWTN President Emeritus Doug Keck, Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, Father Sam...
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Catholic radio for your soul in North Texas. Heard also on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
At Emmaus, the disciples encountered Jesus in the